Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Tuesday was a big day for friendly international football matches, with teams in action all over the world. In one of the high-profile friendlies, Nigeria edged 2019 Nations Cup host Egypt. Iron Mike Mbonye filed this post-match report from Asaba, Nigeria.
The Super Eagles of Nigeria beat the Pharaohs of Egypt 1-0 in an international friendly played at the Stephen Keshi Stadium, Asaba. The two countries used the match to prepare their teams for the African Cup of Nations tournament scheduled for Egypt in June and July. Denmark-based forward Paul Onuachu scored the only goal of the match under a minute with a powerful strike that took the Egyptians by surprise. The Egyptians later regrouped and mounted a series of pressures to get the equalizer, but the Nigerian defense thwarted their efforts. On resumption of the second half, the Super Eagles almost scored the second goal when left winger Simon Moses combined with Wilfred Ndidi, but his shot was saved by Egyptian keeper Abdelrahim Mahmoud. Arsenal midfielder Elneny Mohammed rallied the Pharaohs in search of an equalizer, but the Nigerian keeper Ikechukwu Ezenwa saved the goalbound move. Javi Aguirre, the Egyptian coach, says though they lost the match, he's impressed with the performance of his team.
I think that it was a good match on both sides. The difference was the first 5 seconds of the game. After that, both teams put everything in the field. I think it's a good game for the fans, for the coaches to take conclusions for the future. And I'm happy for the performance of my team. Really, really happy. We lost, okay. Congratulations for Nigeria, but I'm going back to my home happy.
The Egyptian coach Aguirre says he fielded 7 uncapped players in the match against Nigeria. He says there are plans to search for more talents before the Nations Cup tournament begins. Genaro, coach of the Super Eagles, describes the encounter as a great match.
It was not a good match, it was a great match. When you play against such a team like Egypt, which is for me one of the favorites for the AFCON, and you can win it, it's a great match for us. All the time we have to improve, but let us at first enjoy this wonderful result. They did so well, and we scored a wonderful goal, so let us enjoy it. And then we will analyze tomorrow, after tomorrow. We have time now to analyze this game and to work on the things we have to make better.
Ross says the technical crew will continue to work on the Super Eagles for a successful outing in Egypt. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Mike Mbonye in Asaba, Nigeria.
Thanks, Iron Mike. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In more friendly football results involving African teams on Tuesday, host Morocco was beaten by Argentina 1-0 in Tangier. Angel Correa scored for Argentina in the 83rd minute. Ivory Coast defeated visiting Liberia 1-0 in Abidjan on a penalty kick in injury time by second-half substitute and Aston Villa man Jonathan Kodjia. Host Senegal beat Mali 2-1 in Dakar. Liverpool star Sadio Mane was the hero for the Lions of Teranga of Senegal. He came off the bench in the 76th minute and then scored the equalizer for Senegal to make it 1-1. And then in stoppage time, Mane set up Moussa Konaté for the game-winning goal. In an all-North African friendly match, Algeria defeated visiting Tunisia 1-0 in Blida. Baghdad Bonaja scored on a penalty kick in the 70th minute for the Desert Foxes of Algeria. And in one more result, Ghana defeated visiting Mauritania 3-1 in Accra. As I mentioned on Tuesday's show, Mauritania is one of 3 African teams, along with Burundi and Madagascar, that will be making their debuts at the Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Egypt in June. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
In National Basketball Association action Tuesday night, the Milwaukee Bucks beat the visiting Houston Rockets 108-94. The Bucks improved their NBA best record to 56 wins and 19 losses. The game was billed as a matchup of most valuable player candidates, as we hear now from the AP's Chuck Freeman in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
This was supposed to be a night for the two MVP candidates to duel it out. Instead, it was Eric Bledsoe who stole the show. Bledsoe had 23 points in a 108-94 Bucks win over the Rockets. Behind Bledsoe, the Bucks took control of the game in the third quarter, breaking away from a two-point lead. Bledsoe scored 11 straight points during a critical stretch of the third quarter, where the Bucks outscored the Rockets 32-14.
Just make plays, you know, continue to do what I've been doing. If it's passing the ball, getting my teammates involved, any little thing, you know, of that nature.
The MVP candidates, Giannis Antetokounmpo, had 19 for Milwaukee. Houston's James Harden had 23.
I still got my shots up. I still was aggressive. I still did what I was supposed to do. Obviously, some shots didn't go in like every other game, but, you know, as a team, we had our shots that we got, and tonight, you know, they didn't go in. If they go in, it's a different ballgame.
Both scorers below their season average. Chuck Freeman, Milwaukee.
Thanks, Chuck. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Joining us once again on the show for some NBA hoops talk is Wamoyo Hoops Hamza, the Voice of America's Swahili Service Chief. Sporty greetings, Wamoyo.
Sporty greetings, Sonny.
Great to have you back in the studio. Let's begin with those two MVP candidates that Chuck Freeman was talking about, Giannis Antetokounmpo and James Harden. Have you changed your MVP vote yet, Wamoyo?
No, I haven't changed. And here's the reason why. See, last night it was the race for the MVP. Both, you know, players face to face, and each one of them had a chance to, you know, claim the throne.
Right.
But they didn't do that. They didn't do that. For all both players, it was like, it was a duh. You know, we thought we'd see this very exciting, high performance. But no. James Harden finished with 23 points. Antetokounmpo finished with 19 points. You know, Antetokounmpo's Milwaukee Bucks team won. But, you know, you didn't see the two guys going after each other.
I thought they each might get over 50 in that game.
Exactly. That's what we're thinking. We're thinking, you know, we'll see 61 points from James Harden and be 50-something from Antetokounmpo. But we didn't see that. And because of that, my vote still stays with James Harden.
Even though,
you know, the African in me would like Antetokounmpo to win it.
They've both had great seasons, but just recently Harden, didn't he had like a 61-point game.
He dropped 61 points against San Antonio Spurs. Very good team, very well coached. And this is where you see how hard James Harden works and how exciting he is in all areas on the basketball court. So that's what makes him, you know, a very good candidate for the MVP. But again, you know, we've been talking about Antetokounmpo all throughout the season. He's playing amazing basketball. So, you know, he's still out there, he's still open. Until the vote comes in, you know, it could be any one of them.
I had my doubts about the Bucks, Wamoyo, but NBA best record right now, and they're going to be a tough team to beat in the playoffs.
And they're beating all good teams in the NBA. So, you know, they are there. They're not playing. They're really, really, really good contenders for the trophy.
The Boston Celtics have won the most NBA championships over the years. They were victorious on Tuesday night. They beat the Cleveland Cavaliers in Cleveland, 116-106. I understand the Celtics are one of your talking points.
But overall, they are disappointing. Boston Celtics, you know, at the beginning of the season, we thought by this time, they will be sitting maybe at number three or even number one in the Eastern Conference. Mm. But, you know, first half of the season, second half of the season, they have played, you know, up and down. They have had very good runs and sometimes very disappointing, you know, outcomes. They have been blown out in matches. Just last week there was talk of whether Kyrie Irving will stay with the with Boston Celtics in the next season. So at the moment, they're sitting at number 5, and they're likely to meet Indiana Pacers in the first round of the playoffs without home court advantage. So they're really disappointing given what the potential they had at the beginning of the season.
Right now, the Bucks and the Raptors ahead of the Celtics in the standings. Would you pick the Bucks and the Raptors over the Celtics in the playoffs?
Yes, I would do that definitely. The way, you know, playoffs are different animal. You know, when you go into the playoffs, it's quite different. And with someone like Kyrie Irving, who has so much experience of running a team, he could just turn it up in the playoffs. And, you know, you never know what would happen. But if they don't up their game, then Toronto and Milwaukee Bucks are likely to meet in the finals.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm talking with Mwamoyo Hoops Hamza about some of the latest NBA hoops developments. Mwamoyo, I understand you have a feel-good story out of San Antonio, Texas.
This is a real feel-good story out of San Antonio. You remember Tony Parker, who used to be the point guard for San Antonio Spurs for 17 years.
Great player.
Great player, and he went to 5 championship games with San Antonio Spurs, 4 championship wins. Now he is playing for Charlotte Hornets. Now, last night, they played San Antonio and Charlotte Hornets in Charlotte, and they beat, Charlotte Hornets beat San Antonio Spurs. But after the game, Tony Parker got on the plane with the Spurs team.
By mistake?
No. By design. And went back to San Antonio because on Thursday, San Antonio are having the ceremony of retiring the jerseys of Manu Ginobili.
Okay.
Who was a former teammate of Tony Parker. So, you know, that's a very good story that, you know, I'm on a different team now, but I'll always remain a family of San Antonio Spurs.
And I think Tony Parker will always be remembered as a San Antonio Spur.
Exactly, because that's where he did a lot of his plays and most of his successes in San Antonio than anywhere else so far.
Well, Mwamoyo, March Madness taking place here in the USA. The National Collegiate Athletic Association Division I Championship Tournament. It's one of the most popular sporting events in the USA, and I think probably overseas too, as people with ties to various schools might tune in to watch a game or two. But there are international players in this tournament, including more than a few from Africa. But first, we've reached the Sweet 16 stage. So why don't you give our VOA listeners the matchups in the Sweet 16?
So this is the Sweet 16 stage. And as we said yesterday, last week, this is the time when people kind of forget the NBA for a few days and watch the college ball. So the Sweet 16 in the men's tournament, you have Gonzaga against Florida State, Michigan against Texas Tech, Tennessee playing Purdue, Virginia playing Oregon, Michigan State playing LSU, and you have North Carolina playing Auburn and Kentucky playing Houston. So all the top, you know, seeds are in the tournament. So this is going to be a very good tournament because you have the top seeds who did well in the early rounds, and they're all in the Sweet 16. So this is high competition. And in this, you have more than 10 African players with African origins.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. You have Mamadi Diakite of Virginia Cavaliers. He's 6'9", big man. His quickness is likely to be a big factor in the game against Oregon.
No, he's from Guinea?
He's from Guinea.
Okay.
Now, they're playing Oregon. Now, too bad, unfortunately, Bol Bol, this is the son of Manute Bol.
Bol Bol?
Yeah.
Yes.
He's 7'3". He's playing for Oregon, but he got injured, so he's not playing in the Sweet 16. But it would have been a good matchup between Diakite and Bol Bol.
That would have been fun to watch.
Would have been fun to watch. And then you have Mfiondo Kabangela. We talked about him from Florida State. He was
nephew.
He's the nephew of Dikembe Mutombo. He was selected the sixth man of the year for Florida State, and they're playing Gonzaga. Texas Tech, they have 3 African players, Josh Mbala, Norencio Dianse, Malik Ondigo. Now, this is significant because, as you remember, last year, the NBA announced that it's going to start a league in Africa called Basketball Africa League. So it will be like a development league, you know, for the NBA, where, you know, African players, they play in the African League and then they transition into NBA teams. And, countries like Angola, Egypt, Kenya, Morocco, Nigeria, Rwanda, Senegal, South Africa, and Tunisia will be in this league.
Getting back to Bol Bol, we've both watched highlights of him. If he can get healthy again, do you think he'll be a better player than his father?
Much better than his father, because he's more coordinated than his father. You know, his father was
7'7".
Yeah. And his movement on the court wasn't very pretty. But Bol Bol appears to be more coordinated, you know. So I think he'll turn out to be a better player than his father. But I want to talk something about the women tournament too.
Sure.
Because women tournament, we have UCLA against UConn. UConn, remember, they always win. You know, they're like the perennial winners of the women tournament. But in the women tournament, guess who is back? Arike Ogunbowale.
Okay. Nigeria.
Nigerian origin. She scored the last shot and winning shot last year. She plays for Notre Dame. So Notre Dame is defending champions. They're back. And Arike is back too. In this tournament, there's Sabrina Ionescu. She's a delight to watch. She collected her 18th triple-double against Indiana just last week. I mean, she is must-see television. This girl, she plays very exciting basketball. And then I wish Christine Anigwe of Cal University, Berkeley, I wish she was in this tournament. They got kicked out in the last round. She's a very, very good player, collecting double-double like, you know, it's amazing. You know, but she's not in the tournament.
Lots of excitement. I'm going to put you on the spot, Momoyo. I know we're at the Sweet 16 stage. Who are you picking to win the national title?
I think Duke have a very good chance because Duke, they played Central Florida, where, you know, there's the big African guy.
Taco Fall.
And that's the game they could have lost. They won that game in the last second. And that was their biggest test. You know, they have Zion Williamson. I mean, everybody knows he's the best player in college ball right now. So Duke, the way they are placed right now, I think they have a very good chance of winning the championship.
Thanks, Momoyo. That's Momoyo Hoops Hamza, the voice of America's Swahili service chief. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In Olympic news, the IOC has officially ended the membership of the head of the Japanese Olympic Committee. Joining us with more details is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. For the past 2 months, Tsunekazu Takeda has been under investigation in France on corruption charges in an alleged bribery scheme said to have helped Tokyo win hosting rights for next year's Olympic Games. And while Takeda has denied any wrongdoing, he planned to resign at the end of his term in late June. However, on Tuesday, IOC spokesman Mark Adams announced the IOC was severing ties with Takeda, effective immediately.
On Tsunekazu Takeda, former IOC member, the IOCEB recognized the resignation of IOC member Tsunekazu Takeda. With this recognition by the IOC Executive Board and in accordance with the IOC regulations, the cessation of his IOC membership takes immediate effect. The IOC Executive Board expressed its highest respect for his decision and insisted once more on the presumption of his innocence.
Takeda has served as president of the JOC for the past 18 years, and his removal leaves a big hole to fill. The IOC must find a new marketing chief by May, as the Tokyo 2020 Games are fast approaching. Also on Tuesday, the IOC had big news for the sport of weightlifting. Spokesman Mark Adams announced that upon review of anti-doping reforms by the weightlifting governing body, the sport's inclusion at the 2024 Paris Olympics has been given the green light.
The executive board reviewed the position and the positive steps taken over the past 18 months by IWF to strengthen its anti-doping program and recognize how this change is designed to be sustainable through a series of long-term initiatives on clean weightlifting. These measures include, for example, the newly designed Tokyo 2020 qualification system, which links the number of quota places available per country to the history of doping, and it rewards clean sport. And on that basis, the IOC decided, the EB decided to lift the status of conditional inclusion of weightlifting in the programme of the Olympic Games Paris 2024, subject to a number of conditions again.
And under those conditions, the International Weightlifting Federation will continue to be closely scrutinized. IOC Sports Director Kit McConnell says a doping control program between the IWF and IOC's International Testing Authority will also be implemented in the coming days.
Once that agreement is in place and those responsibilities fully transition across to the ITA, there will effectively be a normalization of the relationship with the IWF, and that conditional inclusion in the Paris program will be lifted, and therefore it's a full inclusion at this stage.
Dozens of positive samples from the 2008 and 2012 Summer Games severely tarnished the sport and threatened weightlifting's place on the Olympic stage. As part of the anti-doping program, lifters hoping to qualify for Paris 2024 are required to regularly compete at international events in order to be tested more often. As for next year's games, the IOC has reduced the number of athletes allowed to compete, and countries including Russia, Kazakhstan, and Azerbaijan will have fewer entries in the Tokyo lineup. And that is all from me. More sporty news to come. Sunny, back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In African athletics, Kenya's Jeffrey Kamworor will be aiming for his third consecutive gold medal in the men's senior race on Saturday when the IAAF World Cross Country Championships are held in Aarhus, Denmark. If the 26-year-old Kenyan can win again, he'll put himself in a very select group of men who have won three or more world cross-country senior titles. Only four men have done it, including this now-retired Kenyan star, who won five world cross-country titles.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Getting back to Jeffrey Kamworor, he'll be running not just for a third consecutive senior world cross-country title in Denmark, but also for a sixth consecutive world title in 6 years. Jeffrey also won IAAF World Half Marathon Championships in 2014, 2016, and 2018. The Kenyan should be tested in Aarhus by Uganda's Joshua Cheptegei, who won gold medals at 5,000 meters and 10,000 meters at last year's Commonwealth Games. Meanwhile, we have to go back to 2008 to find a world cross-country championship when a Kenyan woman did not win the senior race. One of the big favorites on Saturday is Kenya's Hellen Obiri, the reigning world champion at 5,000 meters. The 29-year-old Obiri has won all her cross-country races this year, including the Kenyan Cross-Country Championships. And if she wins on Saturday, Hellen will make history. She'll be the first woman ever to win senior IAAF world titles indoors, outdoors, and at cross country. And that wraps up the March 27th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Rob McLean. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Hello, this is Shaka Salih, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, Cyclone Idai battered parts of southern Africa, wreaking havoc and creating a massive humanitarian crisis. An in-depth look at how the international community and the local governments are dealing with this evolving crisis on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bunganyi in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Can't AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.
Are you wandering around lost in a musical desert? Well, follow your ears to the fantastic, the one and only African music mix on the Voice of America. Bathe yourself in this musical oasis. From the north to the south and from the east to the west, the African music mix plays only the best.
Yes, sir. Two Face. Nato C. Hey.
Tune in at 200, 300, 1200, and 1300 UTC GMT. Every day, right here on VOA Africa.
This is Science in a Minute.
Living in the forests of the Southeast Asian island nations of Brunei, Indonesia, Malaysia, and the Philippines is a tiny primate species called the tarsier. The most striking feature of the tarsier's appearance, besides its diminutive size and long hairless tail, are its giant round eyes, which provides the nocturnal and tree-living animal with incredible visual sensibilities. Since the tarsier is the only known primate that's solely carnivorous, their enhanced ocular abilities are of great help when they are out hunting prey at night. A group of researchers at Dartmouth College in New Hampshire have developed new open-access virtual reality software that allows the user to see the world through the eyes of the tarsier. Called Tarsier Goggles, the software imitates the vision of a tarsier and provides the user with an understanding of the advantages that the huge eyes provide the primates. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 2230 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you news as it happens. Listen to Africa News Tonight, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.